This morning on Wake Up with Hope, we'll talk about how spiritual health is intertwined with our mental and physical health.
John Peckham continues his series on knowing God. The Health Connection returns, and we will have another encouraging Reflections of Hope episode.
Don't miss it.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for waking up with us today. You know, we're so glad you have chosen to join us.
Good morning, friends. It's a warm June morning here and we are officially into the summer season. Do you have any summer plans or summer family traditions you've been enjoying or are looking forward to? Share them with us. We would love to hear from you. Send us a message on our Wake Up with Hope Facebook page and let us know.
It's going to be a good summer.
Yes,
we can't
it is.
Wait. You know, part of our summer is going to include a trip to Africa.
That's going to be so special.
Excited
We're looking
about that.
Forward to that very much.
Well, today is National Work From Home Day. Did you know there was such a day?
I didn't, but now I do.
Yep. And it's a day to recognize the technological and cultural evolutions that now allow us to be as productive anywhere in the world as we are in the office. And if you work from home, take some time to evaluate what you do to establish healthy routines and ensure a good work-life balance. You know, we hope to help you get your day started well today as we share the hope of Jesus with you. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1950, President Harry S. Truman declared his decision to deploy U.S. air and naval forces to South Korea, standing in solidarity with the democratic nation against communist aggression from North Korea. Truman emphasized the mission's alignment with a United Nations resolution aimed at halting hostilities and containing the spread of communism in Asia. Alongside the deployment to Korea, Truman dispatched the U.S. 7th Fleet to Formosa, Taiwan, to deter Communist China's potential invasion and expedited military assistance to French forces combating communist insurgents in Vietnam.
And just as Truman took decisive steps to defend democracy and combat the spread of communism, we too are called to stand firm in our faith and fight against the forces of darkness. You know, God equips us with the armor of righteousness and calls us to be beacons of light in a world often shrouded in darkness. More than tyranny in a broken world, God sent Jesus Christ to free us from the chains of sin and the bondage of the enemy. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection embody God's ultimate act of liberation, offering us freedom from the spiritual bondage and the power to find true freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from oppression, freedom to live as children of God.
Praise God. I so thank Jesus for what he's done for us.
Amen.
Well, it's time for another Reflections of Hope episode with Pastor Taj Pakleb. Today, Taj takes us to the ocean in Bermuda to discover an important life lesson on being caught in the net.
Traveling onward, the journey seems so far. Is there a rest for the weary soul?
One of my favorite things to do in life is scuba diving. For those of you who've experienced it, you know there's nothing quite like it. It's like visiting another planet. The ocean is an awesome place of wonder, intrigue, beauty, creativity, and surprise. The fingerprints of an intelligent designer are clearly seen. But sometimes the ocean can be a hostile place, not only for visitors like us, but also for its aquatic inhabitants. Just the other day, we're heading out on a 3-hour scuba tour in the beautiful island of Bermuda. We're about 5 minutes into our trip when we spotted a loggerhead turtle caught in a fishing net. It was desperately trying to free itself. Who knows how long it had been struggling. But by the time we got to it, it was extremely exhausted and surely would have died. When we first tried to help it, it was afraid and it tried to resist us. It probably thought we came to do it harm. We had to hold it down to stop it from injuring itself more in the net. But after cutting the net with the knife, we let it free. But the turtle was so weakened by the struggle that it didn't have the strength to swim on. And friends, the lesson I was reminded of from that experience was far more valuable than the money I paid to go scuba diving that day. You see, just like the loggerhead turtle, humanity has been caught in the net of sin. We have been wrapped and trapped by the folly of our own selfish ways. And no matter how hard we try, we are powerless to free or save ourselves. And it seems like the harder we fight, the more entangled we become and the weaker we get. Perhaps you find yourself in that same situation, fighting an addiction that has consumed your life. Maybe you're burdened with the guilt and shame of the mistakes of your past. Maybe you're struggling with your relationships, with your family, your spouse, your children, troubled with worries and fears for the future. Everything seems so uncertain and you're not sure how you're going to make it through. You're wrapped up in the net of sin and you feel like you're going to drown. And you're so weak. You feel like you can't even keep your head above the water and you feel like giving up. But friends, there's a revelation of hope. The Bible says, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord and He shall pluck my feet out of the net." You see, the glorious good news of the gospel is that Jesus has come to our rescue. He's not passed us by in callous indifference. He has seen us in our struggle for life, and He has come to bring help and relief. He has come to pluck our feet out of the net of sin. And if we will but trust our plight to Him, He will, by the knife of His holy word, cut us loose from our bondage. For the same God that created light and life by the power of His spoken word can also create light and life and liberty in our lives by the power of His written word. You see, the turtle was set free, but it still would have drowned because of its weakness. It desperately needed rest. And so as we laid it on its back, my friend Josh held and supported its head in his own hands. As an aspiring marine biologist, Josh told me that the sea turtle doesn't have the muscle mass to support its own head if it's out of the water and on its back. And as Josh held the head of the turtle in his hands, to me it was a glimpse of how God frees us and holds us in His hands when we've lost all strength to live and move on. The Bible says, "But You, O Lord, are our shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." My friend, have you lost your strength today? Do you feel down and out? Are you entangled in a sinful situation and you don't know how to get free? Well, if so, I want to challenge you to take courage and trust in Jesus. For He is the great burden bearer, the sorrow soother, the head lifter, the sin cleanser, the undefeated emancipator, and the net breaker. Don't resist or fight against His help. He has not come to harm us, but He has come to help us and to save us. And He's come to give us life. Let God free you and hold you today. For if the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
Have you ever wondered how your spiritual health can affect your physical and mental health? Our friends from Live It are back today to share just how these three things are intimately connected.
No matter what backgrounds we come from, we all experience high and low points in our lives. And for many of us, these hard times bring on periods of depression and anxiety, whether it's clinically diagnosed or not.
Today, depression is the biggest single mental illness in America. 25% of women and 10% of men will suffer one or more episodes of clinical depression in their lifetimes.
Loma Linda University Health discovered that we can reduce our risk for depression and anxiety through positive religious coping. The first thing we need to know is that there are two different types of religiosity, extrinsic and intrinsic.
Extrinsic religiosity is doing religious things because you think you'll get something out of it. Two broad areas that they found were going to church for primarily for social reasons and praying in order to relieve your own suffering.
Intrinsic religiosity focuses on others
rather than on ourselves, and it's beneficial to our health.
The healthy aspect is thinking about what can I do for others? How can I help other people? It's the two great commandments, love God, love your neighbor.
The research team found that the direct health benefits of positive religious coping are living longer, having lower blood pressure, and lowering the risk for depression and anxiety.
So how can we incorporate positive religiosity into our lives, no matter what our personal beliefs?
Our first tip is to see how we can help those around us, like our family, friends, and coworkers.
We should ask ourselves, how can I help someone else have a great day today? And then take action.
The second tip is to look for the benefits we can find within our hard times and challenges.
We should ask ourselves, what does God want me to learn from this?
What are the potential good outcomes? And what kind of support can I seek from God when I'm faced with a crisis?
There are your tips for the day on how you can live healthier longer.
Friends, we are delighted to spend time with you this morning. Coming up, we have Dr. Peter Landless joining us on The Health Connection.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying our program, visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to watch or rewatch a recent episode and discover more inspiring content.
Also, check us out on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us there. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, where we desire to help others experience the hope and love Jesus gives.
It's now time for health news as Dr. Peter Landless joins us on today's segment of The Health Connection as he dives into the importance of sleep.
As you opened your eyes from sleep, did you feel rested? Truly rested? How much sleep is enough? 6, 8, 10 hours? Experts say 7 to 8. Others, and I empathize with them, say just 5 more minutes as they hit the snooze button. Lack of sleep, real deep restful sleep, is a huge problem, driven by many factors. In fact, it's equal to the national debt, it's so high. What are the factors that cause us sleeplessness? Work, stress, the devices, the screen time. We've become so dependent on those devices, on our cell phones, on our pads, on our computer screens. And we spend so much time and they actually disturb our sleep architecture. Then, of course, there are substances, including caffeine in that coffee people drink at night, for example. Large and late meals, strenuous exercise late in the day, a very hot environment, extraneous light coming in to the room. All of these are factors. So what are the real benefits of adequate sleep so that you awake refreshed? Reduced levels of diabetes, reduced levels of inflammation load, even, and listen up to this, a decreased risk for Alzheimer's. It's been shown that people sleeping poorly have a higher risk for dementia. Of course, those errors and accidents, those too are less when we've slept well. What's better when you sleep well? Your mood, your mental health, your memory, our immune system, our skin, our healing processes. Even our weight management improves, heart health, the ability to concentrate and focus, and I know that is something which is so important to each one of us. Our energy and productivity improve the better that we sleep. So what can you do to sleep better? Take smaller, earlier evening meals. Cut screen use at least an hour before bedtime to give your mind the ability to slow down. Darken the room. Reduce light as much as possible. Cool the environment as best you can. And open windows where possible. That's always healthy. Have a gratitude journal. Before you sleep, write down the good things that have happened and those things for which you're grateful and the people for whom you're grateful. reflect on the promises in God's word and the peace he gives us. And then you'll wake up each day filled with hope.
Friends, don't go anywhere. When we return, John Peckham will continue his series on knowing God. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for being here this morning.
It's now time to dive into the scriptures as we join John Peckham on his series of Knowing God.
Have you ever wondered if God controls everything? Does everything happen the way God wants it to happen? I have good news filled with great hope for you today. I came across a story in a blog post of Mark Cortez one day about a youth pastor explaining God's sovereignty to some middle schoolers. It went like this. God is sovereign, the youth pastor told them. That means he controls everything that happens. Puzzled by this, one of the middle schoolers asked, "So God was in control when my dog died? Why would God kill my dog?" "That's a tough one," the youth pastor replied. "But sometimes God lets us go through hard times so that we're prepared for even more difficult things in the future. I remember how hard it was when my dog died, but going through that helped me deal with an even more difficult time later when my grandma died. Does that make sense?" he asked. After thinking about this for a moment, the middle schooler replied, "So God killed my dog to prepare me for when he's going to kill my grandma?" How we think and talk about the way God governs the world, God's providence, sometimes creates troubling questions in people's minds. Some believe that God makes everything happen just the way it does. That would mean, however, that whenever something bad happens, God must have wanted it to happen. But is this true? Does everything happen the way God wants it to happen? Put differently, does God always get what he wants? I don't believe so. And let me share with you why from the Bible. Many biblical passages indicate that many things occur that God doesn't want to occur. For example, in Isaiah 66 verse 4, God laments over his people's choices contrary to his desires. And he says, "When I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight." Earlier, Isaiah declared, "God longs to be gracious to his people and waits on high to have compassion, but they were not willing." Likewise, in Ezekiel 3, verse 7, God laments that his people will not listen to me. These texts would make no sense if God was controlling the people's wills. Further, in Psalm 81, verses 11 through 13, God laments, "My people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways." You see, God deeply wants his people to listen, but they stubbornly refuse. This sounds very similar to Jesus' later expression of distress about his chosen people's decisions that were contrary to his will, when he lamented, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Here, the people will directly contrary to what Christ willed. And Luke directly indicates that God's will might be rejected, saying, "The Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him." These and many other biblical texts indicate that many things happen that God does not want to happen. Simply put, God does not always get what he wants. I explain this in more detail in my book, God With Us. Now, why doesn't God always get what he wants? In each of these cases, creatures choose to act contrary to what God wants. In fact, very frequently what occurs is contrary to what God wants. To take one final example, the Bible repeatedly teaches that God wants to save every single person. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But tragically, some refuse to be saved. In these and other cases, God's will goes unfulfilled. According to these and many other biblical teachings, humans can, and tragically often do, will in ways contrary to what God prefers. But how could this be? Why doesn't God just make everyone choose and act precisely as he wants everyone to act? Isn't God all-powerful? According to the Bible, he is indeed. For example, Jeremiah 32, verse 17 teaches, "Nothing is too hard for the great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts, great in counsel and mighty indeed, who showed signs and wonders in the land of Egypt and to this day in Israel and among all mankind." And Jesus himself taught, with God, all things are possible. So he could make everything happen just as he wants, right? Well, not so fast. Suppose something that God wants itself requires that humans have free will to act contrary to what God wants. What could that possibly be? Love. You cannot force someone to love you. By definition, love must be freely given and freely received. If God is to create a world in which creatures can genuinely love and be loved, they must have free will. And if God consistently grants creatures such free will, it is not up to God whether humans use their free will to do good or to do evil. Because God is love, he grants us freedom necessary for love. Where is the good news in this? Where is the hope? This reminds me of the story of Job. God declared that Job was blameless and upright. But the enemy, Satan, afflicted him with all kinds of horrible things, so much so that Job wanted to die. From reading the book of Job, it is clear to me that Job's suffering was actually added to, compounded, by the fact that his friends claimed that what happened to him was God's judgment against him. Job knew he did not deserve it. But the thought that it might be God's will for him must have been extremely discouraging. On top of suffering, one is left wondering whether God himself is against them. But the Bible tells a very different story. When bad things happen, you and I should not assume that what is happening is what God wants or prefers. We can believe just what the Bible teaches. God does not always get what he wants. When evil things occur, it is not what God wants for you or for anyone else. God hates evil more than we do. God does not want you or anyone you love to suffer or die. He wants to give you and everyone else eternal life filled with pure bliss with him. And one day soon, the Bible teaches, he will return and do away with all suffering, pain, grief, and evil. In the meantime, we can recognize that it is not supposed to be this way and act accordingly. We can be agents of love toward others in this often dark world, bringing hope to them because we have hope in God.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Peckham, for those words.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you would like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow. Taj Potclub returns with more Reflections of Hope. Mark Finley joins us for a devotional thought. And The Incredible Journey will be back to talk about growing in the Christian faith. You don't want to miss it.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study.
You know, we have sure enjoyed spending time with you, our friends, this morning. And of course, we can't leave without our daily Bible promise.
And today's Bible promise comes from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6.
It says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you."
You know, friend, God promises that he will never, never, never leave you nor forsake you. Won't you take him at his word today? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, yes, we do. You said it, we believe it. And we pray that as wherever we are in this world, as we face our day, whether it's at the very beginning or towards the end, we know that with your presence, we are strong. With your presence, we can face any troubling situation and have hope. We thank you because this is a gift from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.